Introduction. The Problem. The year 1812 was a glorious one for Russia and Canada. Each repelled a would-be conqueror. Napoleon Bonaparte in Russia's case. James Madison in Canada's. Further humiliation was in store for both rulers in 1814, when they were extruded from their own capital cities. Napoleon, exiled to Elba. Madison in flight from his incinerated residence. Admiral George Cockburn of the Royal Navy, the man who torched the White House after drinking a toast, Jemmy's health, in the president's captured wine, would later take the captive Napoleon to St. Helena. We are all familiar with Madison, on his way to Philadelphia, to craft the Constitution in 1787. We rarely think of the commander-in-chief of defeated armies returning to a pillaged Washington 27 years later. No wonder Mr. Madison's War, as the Federalists called it in New England, has been described as the Forgotten War. Madison's very presidency is semi-forgotten. When Madison expert Jack N. Rakove published a selection of his writings in 1999, only 40 of its 864 pages came from the presidential years. Earlier collections of Madison's writings scanted the same years. One, Gilpin's Papers of James Madison, 1840, omitted them altogether. And in Rakove's brief 180 pages Biography of Madison for the Library of American Biography series, 1990, 35 pages are devoted to the 2 years in which Madison shepherded the Constitution to ratification, while only 24 pages are devoted to his 8 years as president. The disproportion reflects a consensus that Madison, though one of the nation's greatest founders, is not one of its greatest presidents. The periodic ratings drawn up by historians reflect the same consensus. He is usually ranked among the high average presidents, not among the top 10 great or near great ones. How a man could be so shining in certain aspects of his life and so shadowed in another, is not a question often asked. It is the problem I would like this book to address. How to put together the shrewd constitutionalist and the hapless commander-in-chief. The normal approach has been to pay attention to the bright spots and just ignore the dimmer moments. Few have attempted to see any common traits in the man who planned the government brilliantly, but was lackluster in conducting it. Explanation, I suppose, could take one of three approaches, based on circumstances, on temperament, or on specific errors. Approach number one, circumstances. One could say that Madison was just dealt a bad hand. It was a difficult time to be president, when an unwelcome war was almost forced upon him. There are several problems with this explanation. As we shall see, Madison actually welcomed the war. He schemed to bring it on. Besides, difficult times have summoned greatness from other men. A nation calls for leadership in the dire case. Our greatest presidents have faced crises, including conflicts like the Civil War and the World Wars. Other wars, admittedly, have left a cloudier legacy, mainly because they were less clear in rationale or outcome. Polk's Mexican War, McKinley's Spanish War, Truman's Korean War, or Nixon's Vietnam War. Does Mr. Madison's war belong with those more dubious conflicts? Not quite. For one thing, those other four were fought against weaker opponents, one of the things that made them less than stirring. Whereas Madison took on the British Empire at the great moment when it rallied Europe to crush Napoleon. Two of the four other wars added territory to the country, but Madison failed in his attempt to add Canada to the United States. The other two of the four were fought against surrogates for another power we were trying to injure. Communist China. Madison's war was unlike any other in that it seemed to gain nothing, yet it added to his popularity.